Hello darlings, I'm Charlize, the founder of online storytelling platform Girls Will Be Boys, and this is Say It With Your Chest, a podcast which aims to shine light on the corners of important conversations which are so often missed out of the media or seen as taboo. This Girls Will Be Boys podcast offers you an opportunity to enter different people's worlds, share unfiltered conversations, and encourage our guests to say it with their chest. On the topic of misconceptions,
yes,
what is your sexuality?
Is that a misconception? Actually, I mean, to be fair, I'm being judged. I'm talented, I'm good in bed, I'm good in the kitchen, I'm just a good person. I'm like, why the fuck does no one want me? It's because I'm trans. I'm a fucking catch.
Anyone with a brain cell would be like, oh yeah, like a trans person on the public transport is like the one that you worry that would be the one who's attacked, not the one who's attacking people.
Right.
So why are we being painted as like the predator?
So today's guest is a very good friend of mine, Charlie.
He lied to you several times and told you that we're good friends. We're not.
Would you like to introduce yourself and your pronouns?
My name is Charlie. I go by she, her. I'm a trans woman. I'm one of those annoying people like you where I just like have a million hyphens after my name because I'm good at, like, I'm not good at one thing. So I've had to just like do everything. Mm-hmm. So I am like, I've got a BBC documentary it'd be good if I could remember my documentary's name. It's called Transitioning Teens.
Which is so good.
Thank you,
everyone,
babes.
Should watch it.
I agree. Then I've got my book to my trans sisters, and I'm kind of the thing that started all is my campaign, Nail Transphobia, which I've been running for like almost a decade now. It's crazy how time flies.
Tell us about that, because I feel like, I know like you've not been active doing it recently, but it's just still such a good concept. Like, tell
everyone. Thanks, babe. Yeah, because of Corona, it's like kind of, I've had a couple of bookings, but like I've thought, do you know what? Like, it's even now Corona's still here, obviously.
Yeah.
Monkeypox is here now. Like, girl. Chlamydia is here. No, I'm joking. No. But it's basically, I travel around the country with a pop-up nail salon and I offer the public free manicures for the chance to sit down and have a chat with a trans person. Kind of like it, in a bid to kind of humanize the issue a bit. And help them to kind of feel my humanity. And like, what better way to do that than like while you're holding hands? Just gives them a chance to ask questions, really. Mm. And it doesn't even have to, actually, it doesn't even have to ask questions. We could literally be having a chat, but like getting to meet a trans person often is like what these people need because they've heard so much about us. Like, there are so few of us in the world. Mm. We're literally like 0.6% of the population. But yeah, there's so much talk about us and negative talk. And like most people haven't met a trans person. And once you meet a trans person, you realize we're nothing like what you're being told we're like. And yeah, just it helps to kind of like humanize it a bit.
I feel like there's so many, well, there obviously is so many misconceptions.
And oh my God, yeah.
It's just so important that, yeah. That,
about any minority.
Yeah.
Like, and it's because like most people haven't met a person from that community being a minority or don't know them that well, maybe with bigger minorities, maybe they've obviously met one or seen one, like, but like you've seen one as if they're like an animal, but do you know what I mean? Like, but as in like, they might not know one on a deeper level. And like, once you actually get to have a chat with someone and while you're like doing someone's nails, you're literally holding hands and you're like eye to eye, person to person, heart to heart, having a chat. Like, how can't you feel my humanity in that? And how can't you see that I'm nothing to be scared of and I'm just like you?
Oh, so. Babes. Sorry, I just need a moment. I just love you so much. So cute.
Can I have that in writing?
Okay, so on the topic of misconceptions.
Yes.
What is your sexuality?
Is that a misconception? Actually, I mean, to be fair, why are you... I'm being judged. But I didn't even... my first girl was like, why is that a misconception? But then I'm like, actually, like, that's such a good point that, like, trans women, there's so much misconception about, like, the sexuality of trans women, the sexuality of people who sleep with us or attracted to us or date us. That is such a good point.
Because I feel like...
I was not ready for this at, like, what time is it? Do I have a time check? It's, like, 10 o'clock on a Thursday.
I'm getting straight in, babe. Yeah. No,
it's Wednesday. Like, that's how, like, bamboozled I am. It's too early.
I've spun you.
But yeah.
Basically, I feel like... in general, there's a misconception that if you're part of the LGBTQIA plus community, it means you're queer.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why I was like...
It's a very good point. And like, I mean, so much of transphobia is rooted and kind of stems back to kind of this misconception about us being men and men who like us
being then gay. Like, why do you think trans women are being murdered? They're being murdered by men who have slept with them or have catcalled them. Like, that is always the case. There's always a sexual element to it where, like, you know, and it's, again, tied into sexuality and this taboo around it. Like, oh, you're gay for, like, trans women. It's, like, literally cost lives. Like, thousands and thousands of lives. Hundreds of thousands, probably. Like, and, yeah, it's just... So I guess, like, that, yeah, just to break it down, like, there'll be people, like, listening to this who won't really understand it either. That's cool, like, if it's just ignorance, but, like, obviously not malice of, like, being like, oh, it's different if you're, like, shouting at me. Like, oh, the guys who like you are gay or whatever. But, like, some people just don't understand that, like... Like, how do I say, this is the best way I can explain it to you, and I think this debunks it all, is that if it was gay to like trans women, if guys who like trans women are gay, why can't I date a gay guy? Like, I would pay to date a gay guy rather than a straight guy. Why would I, like, I've got all my friends are gay guys. A gay guy has never fancied me. A gay guy has never slept with me. The maths isn't maths in. So you're telling me that the people who like me are gay, but yet gay guys never like me. It's always straight guys who you call gay who like me. So
right.
Like, it's like, I don't want to sleep with these straight guys. It's almost like they think, like, they think that trans women, like, think they've done one up by having these straight guys. Like, baby, they don't wipe their bum half the time. Like, literally, like, we've seen my sofa video on Instagram. Like, that literally... I'm like, I would not choose this prison for myself of having, like, I would much rather date a guy who is, like, gay. Like, do you remember, I just, that's why I'm, like, it blows my mind because I'm, like, you're not.
If you had a choice.
The maths really isn't mathsing because I wouldn't choose to date a straight guy. So you're not getting one up on me by telling me that the guys who like me are straight, but are gay. But they, like, I don't see how I can tell it you any different because it's, like, my passport says F. Like, not that body parts are like, do you know what I mean? We're moving to a space where, like, do you know what I mean? Like, things are degendered and there's like binaries and non-binary kind of systems that operate. But, like, I have, you know, boobs, hips, a big bum. I have long hair. I wear makeup. I act feminine. Yes, I might have a deep voice. That's getting fixed soon, hopefully. But point being, like, why would, like, of course, like, someone who's straight is going to be attracted to that. Like, I don't understand. Like,
yeah.
And it just, yeah, it just makes no sense. It just, it blows my mind that, like, this whole conversation is just like, why do you care as well? Why the fuck do you care?
Like, well, people like to make things their problem, even if it doesn't involve them, if they don't understand it.
Yeah, it's like a hint of bullying as well. It's like, you're just like, just leave me alone. Like, why do you give a fuck who I'm sleeping with? It has literally nothing. Are you jealous? Do you want me to sleep? Like, or are you jealous that I'm having these guys that you would want? Like, I don't understand. Like, what is your problem?
I feel like this must be a part of dating bad times.
Yeah.
The misconceptions that come with it and, like, all that kind of stuff. And I feel like another part of dating being a little bit harder is, in general, for women, desirability politics. Because I know that for me, as a dark-skinned black woman, a lot of problems I've had with dating is due to desirability politics and just how I feel about myself.
Yeah.
But I know that we have completely different versions of how desirability politics affect us.
Yeah.
And how do you feel like it affects you as a trans woman?
Oh my God, in, like, the deepest way. And I've, like, gotten to realize this in, like, the last couple of years, because bear in mind, I'm going to expose myself now. I've not been in, like, a relationship, like a proper relationship since, like 10 years, since I was, like, in school, since I was, like, 18 in sixth form. And not being big-headed, but I am a very beautiful woman. No, I'm joking. I'm actually very unconfident with how I look, but I can, like, as though I don't feel, like, beautiful, I can, like, look, objectively be like, okay, realistically, in the grand scheme of things, I'm at least, like, in the middle of, like, if there's humanity, like, I'm somewhere at least in the middle of, like, the best looking to the worst looking of all people. Do you know what I mean? I'm not awful looking. I think, most importantly, I'm a really nice person. I'm a really good person. Check my Wikipedia. Do you know what I mean? Like, I am. I'm also funny. You just laughed. I am, you know, I'm talented. I'm good in bed. I'm good in the kitchen. I'm good in, like, I'm just a good person. I'm like, why the fuck does no one want me? And I know there's people going to roll their eyes when I say this. It's because I'm trans. It just is. Like, if I was this,
with an XX chromosome rather than an XY chromosome, I would be wifed up 10 years ago. Like, I just would. Like, I'm a fucking catch. I'm successful. I'm doing well. I'm doing good money-wise. Like, I'm like, what? Like, I just don't, I'm like, it really is because of that. And people will roll their eyes by the end of the day, guys, and you can't even blame them. Like, it's not even the guy's fault. It's just like a system of just like catch-22s
yeah,
of like,
yeah.
You can't blame the guys, but then the guys are, and then they blame society, but then da-da-da, and then they, you know, basically, why would a guy want to date me? If you think about it, like, why would a guy choose to date me over a cis girl who he doesn't have to go home to his mum, who, you know, might not really understand trans issues, his dad, even more so, his brothers, his friends, and be like, hey, like this straight guy saying, hey, I'm dating like a trans woman, and then be ridiculed. Maybe he'll even be disowned. A lot of my trans friends have been disowned. I'm like, very lucky that I haven't. But like, why would they choose? If you think about it, of course, men don't want to date us. Men want to sleep with us. Like, I feel like there's another misconception, going back to misconceptions, is that like, we have to trick men into sleeping with us, or like we're undesirable in some way. Baby, I can pull up my DMs right now. Your favorite footballer's in my DMs. Promise you that. I've had Love Island boys. I've had Love Island boys. In 10 years, Love Island would mean nothing, so this would be embarrassing. But do you know what I mean? Like, I get the most out of all my friends. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not doing, but like, that's not the problem. The problem is not like finding us attractive, finding us like wanting to sleep with us. It's like the going beyond that and being like proud enough to like, you know, walk down the street with us, but like, because they know they might get shit. Like, when someone hears my voice, they do a double turn and they like, laugh about me, which happens every fucking day. Like, it's embarrassing. And I feel sorry for the guy on the day as well, because, you know, it's like their first time going on a date with a trans person. And like, you feel like, and like, that's such a shit feeling that I'm being made to feel like bad for the guy who's with me. Like, because he's feeling uncomfortable, maybe, you know, something like that. It's just, there's so much layers, there's so many layers to this. And it's really hard being trans and dating. And I'm like, I am a catch and I am a nice person and all that. And I'm like, I shouldn't be like, I feel so unloved. And I've just never felt loved, like even my first relationship, which was a relationship, but it was very like unloving. Like, but like, it's just like, I don't know. Yeah, I just think it's really sad.
It's so interesting because you have the same feelings I have.
Yes.
But obviously it's a completely different thing. But also I feel like with me and like with dark skin, and when we talk about desirability politics, it feels like we're not made to feel desirable. But then in your case, there is like the desire there because there's people in your DMs, but people don't want to show that they're with you or like to settle with you or this, that and the other. So how does it feel in that way? Because I know how it affects me to not have people, or how it affected me, sorry, Wolfie, to not have people in my DMs and be thinking, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Where you've got all these people that want to sleep with you, but don't want to do anything else. It's like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? So like, how does it feel on that?
I think it's so important to like decenter yourself and understand that it's not what's wrong with you, it's what's wrong with the world. And it doesn't make it any easier to deal with, because at the end of the day, that it doesn't change it. But that is just the way things are. Like, I've heard even like my fat friends say the same thing, like that they like that it's just, there's so many experiences of people who are not, you know, like the heteronormative, the norm, the kind of the status quo, like the ideal in our society's eyes, say the same thing of that, like they're just feeling like so like hot, like it's so unfair, because it's like, if you put me in a different, like if you change everything, like the only thing you changed about you was the fact that you were white or lighter skinned, or if the only thing you changed about me was that I had a vagina, you know, or, to be honest, it's not even that, actually. This is where we get deep, because even if I have like if I had surgery, there's still people who are going to be like, no, you're still like a man, you're still like, and it's like, you know, there'll be, it's just, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, but point being, it's just, you got to like decenter yourself and remind yourself that you're not the problem. Like, I can see, and maybe people think I'm big-headed for saying it, I think I'm a fucking great person.
Oh,
I
you
really
are.
I would date me. Like, I think I'm a really, I'm like fiercely loyal. I'm like, I think I'm a, like, I'm a good person. And I'm like, I just need to remind myself that, like, if it's meant for me, I also believe in, like, you know, a plan and stuff. If it's meant for you, it will happen. I've got trans friends who are the minority, but very lucky that they've found someone who really loves them for them. And if it's meant for you, it won't pass you by. Like, you found your
your wifey, and like if it's meant for you, it will happen. It just, the pool is much smaller. It's not even a pool, it's a puddle. Like, it's literally a puddle at this point. Like, out of like, I'd say out of all of the guys in the world, I'd say like something like 80% of guys would like sleep with, that sounds really, this is gonna get taken out of context and it's gonna be on Twitter. Charlie Craig says 8% of guys in the world would sleep with her. I just mean generally the idea of like a trans person, yes, they'd sleep with you, but like they'd also sleep with like, what's that saying, like a McChicken sandwich. Like, it's not a compliment. Oh, but the point God. Being out of that 80%, it's like, I kid you not, I feel like there's probably like 10%, not even 10, I'd say less, I'd say like 5% of those guys, of all guys in the world, would date a trans woman seriously.
Ooh.
Like, and yeah.
Do you feel like people are, or men are, direct or indirect with their not wanting to?
It's a mix. I've had guys literally be like, I don't know how explicit I can get with this, but like, how do I say it? And I don't want my future husband listening to this and being disgusted by me. But like the first time I ever had sex was the guy said like he wished he didn't do that. He wished he regretted it. Like, immediately, I still like, had his cum on my chest, and he had said to me, like, oh, I regret that. Oh, like, so that's, like, set up. I'm going to cry, but that's, like, really set up my, like, it's, and it's conditioning as well. Like, if you receive that enough, and it's been, like, what, like, 10 years now of, like, dating, like, and I've just been, like, beaten down, like, you start to believe it. Or, oh, I really am almost going to cry. But, like, it's okay. I'm okay. But,
we can pause.
I'm good. Baby, catch the tears on camera. Like, it's important. It's important people see this. It's important people see, like, how much it hurts. And, like, some people are direct. I have, even more recently, guys will be like, you're, like, get with them or, like, go on a date even. And they'll be like, oh, don't tell anyone about this. And I'm like, who the fuck do you think I'm going to tell? You should be so fucking lucky I'd tell anyone. Do you know who I am? Do you know who you are? Do you have a Wikipedia page? Like, who cares about you? You're like a fucking nobody. You're a fucking loser. Like, I shouldn't even be dating you. I've lowered my standards so much in the same way that a lot of people who date men have. But like, especially when like the pool is that small, I am like mixing with fucking trash and like, just like doing myself dirty by doing that. And just like, you know, like, but then there are guys who are like who lead you on, and I've like dated guys for like a while, and like then after like a few months before it gets serious, before they have to introduce you to a friend, before they have to tell their parents they're dating someone, before, you know, like pictures go up on Instagram, you know, it gets cut short, and you know, people will listen and be like, oh, it just might be that he didn't like you. The maths, like I can do the maths, and when there's a pattern that recurs over and over again, you can see a pattern here, and it's that. And yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see, because I, like I said, I'm planning on getting my voice surgery done. Mm-hmm. And it'll be interesting to see how things change then when I'm less trans to the world. Mm-hmm. Like, because at this point, I can walk around the street and people don't really look at me. Like, I can kind of blend in to a certain extent. It's when I open my mouth that people are like, oh, that's a man, that's a man. So, like, it'll be interesting to see, like, when that happens, how, like, I'm kind of perceived differently in the dating world, where I'm maybe more worthy. I wonder then, like, I've got friends who are trans who have dated men, and then they're told, like, you can't tell people that you're trans. Like, when I invite you to my family, you can't say you're trans. I'm like, oh, wow. that would be a EastEnders episode. Like, because it's going to come out. At some point, you can't hide something your whole life.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, you just like, it's gonna be interesting to see how my life changes in the next like year.
I feel like when people are chatting shit about trans people, and especially trans women, like in terms of like appearance, all that kind of stuff.
And can I just say that that's so true, because the dialogue around trans women is like 10 times what it is around trans, and not even 10 times, I'd say 100 times. Like, there's like nothing about trans men, and then all of it's about trans women. Yeah.
It's always the case.
Yeah.
Because of like the patriarchy, misogyny, all that blah, blah, blah stuff that affects women.
Yeah.
It's like, it affects trans women because trans women are women, and the same things that are affecting cis women. Like, it's.
Yeah.
So, to prove your point. So I feel like people don't realize how much trans women are going through in order to stop this abuse and to feel better about themselves and to like validate how, like, I don't want to speak on behalf of you, but I just feel like there's people don't take that into consideration. They just think that you're doing this to piss them off, like you're existing to piss people off.
Yeah.
and not that you're just trying to
myself at this point, honestly. Yeah. Like, do you know how hard, like, being trans is? No one in their right mind would choose this. No one. It's literally the last resort. It's this or suicide for all of us. Like, no one would choose this. Why would you choose to become, like, a second-class citizen? Why would you choose to, like, you're talking about love and dating, potentially never find, like, you've just decreased your chances of finding love by, like, 90%, you know, maybe even more. You've, like, increased your chance of being murdered by Lord knows how many percent, you know, especially if you're a black person. You know, I don't know, it's going to be harder to get a job. You might be disowned by your family. You know, I've got so many friends who've had that happen. You know, just everything. Because why would you choose? Like, I just wish there was a bit more compassion in this debate, quotation marks as well. Like, because it's like, can you not see, like, how hard, like, whatever your views are, like, can you, surely you can see how, or imagine, like, how hard it is to be a trans person, especially a trans woman. Like, when I see a trans woman out in public, I'm always like, oh, I feel sick for her. I'm like, especially when at the start of her transition, because I was that girl. And you just feel like, I, like, deliberately, like, will sit on the same train. Because I blend in, and people won't even realize I'm trans. And then I'll hear someone say something, like, excuse me, and I'll, like, jump out. Or the same with the gays as well. Like, people just think I'm just, like, a middle-aged, you know, mummy, like, cisgender, straight. And then the man voice, because I'm like, what if I did you? Like, so I will always stand up for my, like, queer family. But point being, like, yeah, it's really fucking hard, and I just wish there was a bit more compassion. Just like, yeah. It's sad to me that there's, like, even, like, last night I spent, like, a best part of an hour with this. I saw a drunk girl on the street. She was, like, crying, and, like, straight away, like, growing up in London, your spidey senses go, like, is this, like, is she, like, I don't want to say the word CRAZY. I mean, bear in mind, I am on sertraline, so I'm like a bit of a spicy mind myself. But do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I wasn't sure if she's like in the right mind, or if she's like aggressive. She could have, like, she was like doing this to me, like holding her hand out as if like to say like, come here. And I was thinking, like, I could go in to give her a hug. She could fucking scratch me across the face, or like whatever. Who knows? Anyway, or she could be mugging me. She could have, it could be a honey trap. There could be people waiting. Anyway, basically, and I stayed with her for like an hour. Like, I, like, she was like, bear in mind as well, again, this kind of to the counterbalance, the argument in the media of that, like, that they pose of like, we're so like, you can't say anything these days, and if you misgender them, they're gonna cancel you. Bear in mind, I was helping this girl that I don't even know, who won't even remember me today, for like an hour of my life last night. She was misgendering me the whole time, thought I was a man. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm still helping her. Like, I'm like, trans women are not your enemy. We all have the same enemy. Do the maths. Like, you can work out what the enemy is, but it's not trans women. Trans women, we have never been your enemy. We will never be your enemy. You've been lied to. Like, we'll always have your back. And it's in the way that the majority of cis women don't feel that way. But it's like, there's a very small minority who are very loud because they're all privileged fucking white women with amazing jobs at the fucking Guardian and Telegraph and all this stuff. Like, that's why it seems like all women, it's like, it seems like a 50-50 split, but it's really probably like 10%. 90% of women, you know what I mean? Like, that's something like that. And there's a lot of people who are neutral in the middle and just don't think either way. But I wanted to bring that up because with all this talk about trans women and stuff in the media, I'm like, you know what I mean? Like, we're not your enemy.
A lot of misconceptions. Yeah. I feel like that is the root of where it's all just fucking go wrong.
It's just a fuckery. It's a whole fuckery. It's just wild.
But that's why, obviously, like, things like your documentary, I know how important it is. I mean, obviously, me and Sky always talk about the fact it's always the oppressed that have to do the educating, that have to do the work. And, like, obviously, I'm so glad that your documentary exists, but why did it take you to have to do it? Like, why couldn't someone just want to, you know, like, be in a position of power and want to help? I don't want to use stupid word ally. I don't really... offense, but I just think that I don't really like how that word is being used. It's quite saviory. Yeah. I just think, like,
it's just doing the bare minimum, really.
Right.
I don't think
it's the bare minimum.
Yeah, it's just the bare minimum.
It's disgusting. But I wanted to ask you about quote unquote passing.
Yes.
And passing politics. And again, like, the misconceptions or just what that is like. Within the community, outside the community, like...
I mean, I've seen firsthand what it's like. And, like, I don't want people thinking I'm delusional, but, like I said, like, I from the outside, like if I don't speak, I can blend in public these days and no one really questions anything or looks at me. But that wasn't always the case. And for a long time, like until I had surgery, I've had to pay for this privilege. Mm. So it's not really, it's a privilege, but it's not really a privilege, because if you pay for it, it's not really a privilege. And if you pay as a working class person, like I'm, bear in mind, I was like 20 when I started my transition, living on a council estate in Ladbroke Grove, like where I grew up. It's not a privilege. It's not a privilege. Like it was, yeah, I'm not, I don't come from money. My parents didn't pay for my transition. I've paid everything. I'm still in debt, you know? I've probably paid about 40K on my transition. Bear in mind, I don't look like amazing. I just look normal. And I still get shit every week at least. But at the start of my transition, I was being like attacked, whether verbally, and it would be bad verbal stuff, or like physically often sometimes, sexually sometimes, when I'd be out on public transport, like on a weekly basis, I'd come home and tell my mom, oh, it happened again, blah, blah, blah. And it was just so normal. And I was desperate to get my surgeries to help me to pass, quotation marks. Passing, for anyone who doesn't understand, is just like passing as cisgender. Like you pass, as in like people don't clock you, people don't, you kind of pass. Yeah, I've said it. Sorry, but yeah, basically I was like so desperate to have this surgery that like, and I was so depressive how like my life was, that I just wouldn't go out unless I was like working. I'd go to work to make my money to save, come home, and I like, that's it. I wouldn't have a life because I was too scared. And it's really upsetting that now, like you'll know this, but you're one of my close friends, I don't really have much of a social life, and it's because I'm so traumatized by how I was like treated. Oh, I'm gonna cry. But like, I was so, I'm so like in that headspace of like my early transition, which just like for years, I just was a recluse and just stayed in my house and wasted the best years of my life. I had those stolen from me by this society that like also interestingly poses me as the predator and the threat. Mm. When we are literally like, anyone with a brain cell would be like, oh yeah, like a trans person on the public transport is like the one that you'd worry that would be the one who's attacked, not the one who's attacking people.
Right.
So why are we being painted as like the predator? But like, anyway, I just, yeah, just was the hardest point of my life. And I finally got my money together and I had surgeries. And it wasn't even one round of surgeries. It was like, I've probably had like four rounds of different surgeries to like get to this point. I've got more to do. Like I said, I'm hopefully getting my voice done soon. But like it, my life changed instantaneously. Like even with the first set of surgeries, and I still didn't look amazing, but just like, for example, I had like very like masculine features on my face because I went through the wrong puberty, which is why things like, in my documentary, I talk about the importance of puberty blockers and hormones, like, and like being able to start as a teenager if you can, because otherwise, first of all, like the, I mean, it can also save your life. It can also save you a lot of money in terms of like having to pay for these surgeries later to remove things that wouldn't have grown if I'd been helped. And so first of all, I got my like chin, like my chin shaved down because I had a really big crimson chin jaw. And then I had my hairline lowered because I had a receded hairline, like a really bad hairline. Like, I mean, like a 7-finger forehead. I couldn't wear my hair out. So those were two very like masculine features that would get me clocked immediately, obviously. And as soon as I fixed those things, like my life changed overnight. And you just see like the power of like pretty privilege, passing privilege, of just like how differently you're treated if you can assimilate and if you can fit in. And like the further I get along in my transition, the easier my life gets. Mm. But then I'm still haunted, and not even just haunted, because it's haunted implies like past tense, but like it's very much like a part of my everyday life, the fear that still lives in me every day. When I leave my house, I'm like traumatized, because at the end of the day, if you're going through something for like however 5 years I went through that kind of stage, like it doesn't go away. And when you fix the problem, like the, almost like when I left my school where I was bullied for like 7 years, I thought as soon as I leave, I'm going to be happy. No, I'm not, because I'm so traumatized by how I was treated there that like, even though I've left the bad place, I'm still in a bad place mentally because of it. And I'm still just as scared of like, you know, being attacked still, because that was part of my life for so long. And like, even like if you think, and it's not delusion, because I was attacked at the start of this year, as like everyone knows, like I said in my intro, I was spat on the face, on the tube. Mm-hmm. In 2022, in one of the most like quotation marks, like multicultural, like cosmopolitan, you know, you can be who you want here, cities in the world, London, you know, where I grew up. And like, it's like, it's not just in my head. We're not making this up. Like trans people saying we're not safe is not some fucking like SJW, like, oh, like, you know, all words that mean nothing. It's literally a real thing. Like, I don't feel safe. Mm-hmm. And none of us do. And we shouldn't, because we're not. And it's bullshit.
And I guess that links to, like,
passing 100%. Because if you, I've got trans friends who pass perfectly because some of them were lucky enough to get on hormones as a teenager or hormone blockers. And they've, like, not gone through parts of puberty that I have said voices haven't broken. They didn't develop, like, masculine features. Or I've got friends who have just had a lot of surgery and they pass. And, like, they don't get any abuse. They don't get any abuse. But then, like, having said that, it becomes hard in a different way when we go back to dating, like what we were talking about before, because then I've never had to, and I'm kind of nervous that when I get my voice done, I'll probably have to do this. I've never had to come out as trans because I'm so obviously trans. Can you imagine, like, my friends who are so passable and nothing, there's not a single, this is what problematic term, but like giveaway that they're trans, that like when they're talking to a guy, they're approached by a guy, whether online or in person, they've then got to like come out to them, and that the amount of danger that puts you in, like, this is how the girls are getting murdered, like, in America. Like, we're very lucky that over here in England that it's not really like a thing of like murders. We get a lot of transphobia and hate crime, and but like it's not really a cultural thing here of the murders, but there's obviously been a few, but yeah, it's like that scares me that like I'm gonna then have that experience of like having to come out to people and just not knowing how they're going to react.
Do you feel like off the back end of safety and passing and all those things, do you feel like it limits how you can explore your gender expression?
Absolutely. Like, I was writing a piece recently about how like I'm trying to connect with my younger self in a way, in that like I was like very much known growing up for being like stylish and being very flamboyant. I had a lot of flair. I was like really like forward thinking fashion wise. I got into Central Saint Martins. I got into London College of Fashion. I was like really like that was my life. Like I was like, if you said my name and like the words that'd be synonymous with me would be like fashion and Lady Gaga. Like I was like that. I was that little gaby. And then I lost that when I transitioned. When I transitioned and I was going through the world, like literally being like attacked on a weekly basis, I was like, I just want to blend in. My only dream in life, which is so sad, was to like blend in and not get looked at. And I would dress accordingly. I would wear like tracksuits. I'd wear like things that would like make me look inconspicuous and like wouldn't even, I'd look dull. And even like how I'm dressed today, like I'm just like, I tried to just blend in. And I really feel like cheated that I've had that stolen from me, that like inner child's kind of the joy of like as being someone like you who's just like so fab. And like, I'm like, I want to be like that. And I was like that. And I would have been like that now if I didn't have that stolen from me. I didn't have the fight in me to keep being like, I just didn't have the fight in me, but I'm trying to find it now. And I think, would advise anyone listening to this who's like dulling themselves down to try and find it too when it's safe, because it's not always safe. And if you'd give me this advice, like at the start of my transition, I'd be like, fuck off. Like, it's just stupid advice because it's not safe. Like, but like once you get to that point where you are safe, do it for the inner child, and it will be like a nice full circle moment when I do get to start doing that. And I feel like I'm getting there. Like, I feel like, yeah, I've come out of the other side a little bit in terms of my style. Like a few years ago, I was just dressing really like just trying to blend in and just being a mess. And now I'm like, I'm gonna do it for little Charlie.
Yeah, little Charlie deserves it. Well, I mean, I don't want it to all be. I don't want to make you cry this whole podcast.
Yeah, you've like almost made me cry like three times. The next time it happens, the tears are gonna come because I've been like holding them back. So yeah,
just no, I want to ask what you love about yourself. And
oh god, that will be the one that makes me cry. It's been a really long journey to get into like myself. Like, bear in mind, like I was saying about transitioning being like the last option and it would mean being suicide or transition for most trans people, I was like on death's door. Like, I hated myself, like, and I also hated the idea of what I'd have to become. Like, I was like, I don't want to be trans. Like, why would I want to be trans? Why would anyone want to be trans? Like I said, and like just knowing how hard my life was going to get. My life wasn't easy pre-transition. Growing up as a little fucking queer kid on a council estate in Ladbroke Grove was not easy. Like, I was very effeminate, very obviously queer. I was getting called like gay and girl and batty boy and stuff at like seven. Do you know what I mean? So like if I'm thinking it's going to get even worse, which it did, it was not delusion, like I said again, but I was like, I can't do this. But like, I'd got to the point where I just was like a shell of myself because I hated myself so much because I really internalized all the homophobia, femphobia, transphobia, whatever you want to call it, growing up. I really like hated myself for the things that I was bullied for, like my voice, which I've actually, that's so annoying. Like, I deepened my voice and now I can't get back up. Like, growing up, I had such a feminine voice and like, till quite late. And then like, I was bullied for it a lot in secondary school. And then I like, deliberately forced myself to speak. Like, I want to like, get out of, yeah, I'm going to cry. But basically, it's a really, it's wild to me that I'm like, the opposite of what I was growing up in that, like, not just in terms of my gender, but in terms of like how proud I am, like the level of confidence I have. Like, I am, I know this whole podcast, I've almost like made myself sound like a victim, but I am so confident. I am so fucking strong. I would dare, I feel sorry for the person who does go up against me. Like, you know, when someone does start at me like that, you've seen the video of me like on the tube with the boy spat at me. You haven't seen the whole video. He's like, oh, you got a cock. I'm like, yes! And you're like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, like, I could not have done that growing up. Like, I was like a victim. I was so shy. So I think the thing I love about myself most is like, not just my resilience, but like my, like, the bitch, the like, the plot twist in my character development where I've like just been like, actually, no, I'm not being a victim anymore. I hit breaking point and I was just like, no. And like, now I'm just, like, it's the best feeling to feel like in control of yourself. And like, I think that's just like what I really want, what people get from me to be. Like, that's why I try and like be very vocal about that. And like, when I do my stories on Instagram and stuff, I'm like, I'm hoping that queer people are gonna, especially young queer people or people who are young in their queerness rather, are gonna see that and be like, I wanna be like that. Cause that's how I found that strength, is from looking at people like Pete Burns or Nadia or whatever on Big Brother, who would like stand up for themselves, who were so queer and were like picked on for being queer, whether like in the house or whatever, in Big Brother or whatever, but would like stand up for themselves. And I'm like, I want to be that. And like, now I really am that.
I feel like that's what people see. Like,
yeah, I feel like it is as well. That's my brand now.
Yeah, it truly is.
The T in LGBT stands for try me, bitch. Merch available at nailtransphobia.com. Oh no, it's charliecrags.com. No, .co.uk. Wow, really, I am really dyslexic. Jesus Christ.
Well, I want to give you an opportunity of reclamation. So...
before we get into reclamation, just because I've brought up merch, I don't know if you realize what I'm wearing today under my blazer. Have you got a glimpse of my white t-shirt?
Please. I can't. It's so good.
I have your merch on, bitch. Yeah, I don't know if you realize.
It's so good. No, honestly, like, I live. And it's not even merch that is available anymore.
Oh. So. Well, you can now find this on eBay. When this comes out, this will be on eBay for £1,000.
No one will want it. No, it's fine. Okay. I live.
I won't wash it, so you can smell it. Like, there'll be someone, some nasty guy who won't date me publicly, but will buy a t-shirt for £1,000 to sniff my armpit.
Oh my God, help. No, but it's
funny. Anyway, reclamation. Yes. I just wanted to give you a plug. Swipe up.
I wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
What is one apology that you've made in the past that you would like to take back?
Oh, whoa. That is a good, I have never been asked that in my life or even thought about that. Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God, that is such a good, oh my God, that is such a good question. And I probably have so many. I guess I can't think of it's really annoying. I can't think of like a specific like example. So I'll give you like a general thing of how, like, I would kind of be sorry for being myself. Like, I'd be sorry for being queer. I felt like it was bad to be queer. I'd have like friends, quotation marks, who I actually thought were my friends, and like they thought they were my friends, but it was just normal, like, who would like walk ahead of me in public or wouldn't walk with me because I would be like getting shit, and if they walk with me, they'll be getting shit. You know, I like felt I had to dull myself. I felt I had to, I was ashamed of like how queer I was, and I felt like it was something bad. And yeah, I guess I was like sorry for like putting that onto other people, but now I'm like, no.
Like, it wasn't you putting it on.
Yeah, you should. I shouldn't have even walked with them. I should have been like, go on, fuck off then. Like, don't fucking do you know what I mean? Or like to the boys who even now are too ashamed to walk down the street with me or like date me or whatever, like, or, you know, there's just so many things, or like, oh, it's just, yeah, just like, I guess, like, sorry that you're ashamed of me.
Mm.
That's what I want to take back.
And that's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. But like, because it's like, you should be so fucking lucky.
Right.
You should be so fucking lucky. Bitch.
Well, thank you so much for coming on this podcast.
Thank you for making me almost cry four times.
No, I do apologize for that. I didn't anticipate.
Yes, you did. I feel sabotaged, and you will be hearing from my agent. I can't believe you tried to do me like that after I wore your merch.
Stop.
Which you can swipe up for now.
Is there anything you want to plug personally?
Girl, no, I have nothing to plug. Just
follow
buy,
your Instagram.
Not even follow me. I was going to say something nice. I was going to say buy Charles merch.
Oh, babe.
But yeah, don't. I want to plug you.
No, and follow. Ooh.
I mean, yeah, you can.
I just
yeah,
what you
I'm a Christian, but yeah, you can follow me if you want. It's Charlie_Crags.
Yes, thank you so much, babe.
Love you.
Love you too. Thanks for tuning into this episode of Say It With Your Chest. If you're loving the conversations that we're having, make sure to rate us 5 stars and to leave a review wherever you're watching or listening right now. Make sure to follow, like, and subscribe to all things Say It With Your Chest, and make sure you follow Girls Who Are Boys on Instagram and TikTok to know when the next episode will drop. See you next time. Insanity Group.